we're forever grateful and thankful. We do not take you for granted, Father. You are our loving, caring, sharing Heavenly Father. And we acknowledge that right now through our worship and through our praise unto you. And we look forward to that day where we will be in your presence face to face, that we may worship you for the rest of our days. We thank you and honor you. That is in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let everyone say amen and amen. Hallelujah. My, my, my. My God, my God, my God. Woo, my, my, my. God's doing something in the midst of us, his people. He's doing something. He's doing something. And we just got to trust him. That's what we got to do, is trust him. We're going to trust him. Amen. If you will, please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. I want to say thanks to everyone. Amen. Pastor Angela, Elder Starks, and everyone have echoed a lot of things that are upon my heart in regards to the things that have taken place over the last week or so in our absence and also in our presence. Amen. And so we're thankful and grateful to each of you and to all that you do as your labor of love unto our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I also want to specifically thank Elder Ware for bringing forth the word on last Sunday in my stead, in my absence. Hallelujah. I thank God for you, and I thank God for you, Deacon Ware. Amen, brother. Hallelujah. I know you had to get a few timeouts because she was preparing for that word. Amen. But I thank God, brother, for the grace and the mercy that you extended towards her. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And for supporting her in doing that. And you support her all the time. And I thank God for that. Amen. He's a real man. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I thank God for everyone. It's such a joy to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. We were in the house of the Lord down there. We heard some gospel preaching down there, man, in Kentucky. They preach down there in Kentucky. We were in, of course, Nashville for a part of a day. And then we were also in Kentucky. And everyone, those Bread of Life members that are in other cities now, they send their love. Amen. And we just had a wonderful time there. We were spoiled, I tell you what. We sat back and just had a great time. You know, I got my eight on, my eat on, whatever you want to call it. Amen. But it was wonderful. It was a wonderful time. And we're just so thankful and grateful to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. And all is well. All is well. Amen. All is well. No matter what come across the screen, no matter what comes in our ears, but all is well in his eyes. Amen. And in his sight. If you're with me, we're going to continue upon this this last song where y'all were saying thank you, Jesus, at the end there. We were signing out. We want to talk from the subject of thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. But I want to have a subtitle. I'm going to read where we're coming from. I want to have a subtitle called Relief from Unbelief. Relief from Unbelief. Amen. Because we've been talking here in the house about faith. We looked about a month ago, we were in this whole series of messages on the principles of unity, and that the Lord thy God was unifying us. And I think, I praise God for that, because in the unity in the community, when we came together in worship the other night, well, there was unity in this place. This place was jam-packed. Folks standing up in the corner. Brother Jay, I seen you standing up over there in the corner. You in Asia, y'all just standing up over there in the corner, and we thank God for each of you that invited someone out that came, and everyone done a marvelous job. Was not God glorified that night? He was glorified. God is doing something, church, in the midst of us, his people. And we want to take time out. We do this all the time, but I want to take time out today to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And if we can't thank him, I'm saying, Lord, look, because the Lord want to help us. If we don't have a thanks in us, it's because there's some unbelief around us or in us. And so we got to get some relief from unbelief so we can give him the thanks that is due his name. Amen. So we've been dealing with faith, and we're going to move forward today along those same lines, because several weeks ago, we talked about it takes faith in Jesus. And what we were teaching is that Jesus is he's the object of our faith. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, but he is the object of our faith. So when we think about faith, he is the object because the Bible says that he is looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we know that's over in the book of Hebrews. I'm doing a little bit of review. We're going to get here. Amen. We're going to get right here. So I'm not going to stay in there too long, but that's where we were at. And we learned also in that message that if we have faith, faith causes us to do what? Causes us to say something, do something, and give something. Amen. When you got faith operate, I'm talking about the God kind of faith. When that's operating in you, it's going to cause you to say something, do something, and give something. And we went to the text and we talked about those 10 lepers. Amen. How they were standing over there and Jesus came by and they cried out, they said something. And then Jesus Christ, then when he said something, Jesus Christ instructed them, amen, to do something. Amen. He said, go show yourself to the priest. Amen. And when they went to show themselves to the priest, the Bible said they were healed. I mean, in that. But the Bible then says one of them turned around and came back and gave him what? Glory. Gave him praise and gave him thanks. See, I'm saying if you got faith in Jesus, because he is the author and the finisher, he is the object of our faith, it will cause you to say something, do something, and give something. He came back to give it. He says, now what are the other nine? What they at? But then when he told him, he says, your faith has made thee whole. Oh, my God. I know we're right on this thing. So we've been dealing with this faith because the Lord wants me not only to encourage me, but to encourage us as a people that we're going out of this year in faith. We're going out. Yes, so we're going after that thing. Amen. The Lord has already given us the theme for next year. I already told Brother Joy, I wasn't going to say it today, but we might as well going to say it. The theme for next year is going to be lean on Jesus. Lean on Jesus. Amen. We're going to lean on in, man. And in the scriptures, it talks about how he had the apostle that was named John that loved him and leaned on him. Amen. Also, Proverbs 3:5 says what? Trust in the Lord with all the heart and lean what? Not upon what? Your own understanding. See, if you don't lean on your own understanding, we're going to lean on Jesus. That's what we're going to do. Amen. We're leaning on him. Amen. We're trusting him. Amen. Like never before. We're going to place our faith in. Amen. See, the same person that we got saved by faith. Amen. It was by grace through faith that we got saved. And so the same faith that saved us is the same faith, amen, that we got to live by. Amen. We said, well, we walk by faith. That word is walk is to live by faith. So we talked 2 weeks ago. We went into a message where we talked about living by faith or walking by faith. Walk is the same word. It's a synonym word for the word live. So walk and live are the same things when we read in the Word of God. And so we said walk by faith or live by faith. And we talked about three types of faith in the book of James. The first faith, anybody remember, it was a dead faith. Somebody say dead faith. A dead faith was a faith that you're talking the talk, but you're not walking the walk. Amen. Because he talks about faith without works is dead. Amen. And I taught us, and we continue to teach in the house, we don't work to get saved. Amen. We work because what? We got saved. We are saved. Amen. That he saved me. That's why I do my work and my labor of love towards him, because he saved me. But we went on from dead faith to demonic faith. Because James broke that thing down. James says that even the demons believe and tremble. He said that's an emotional type of faith. Amen. We get all emotional in this thing, but we still don't walk it out. Because we have either misplaced faith, shipwrecked faith. You know what I'm saying? Something has happened to our faith. But he don't want us to have the dead faith. Neither do he want us to have the demonic faith, which is an emotional type of faith. You know, we just get the devil even. They believe, they have faith, and they tremble. Amen. But they have not come unto him. But he says, no, I want you to have a dynamic type of faith. Somebody say a dynamic faith. A dynamic faith says that I have faith, and with my faith, I got some works to go along with it. What I'm saying, look, folks know that I'm saved because of what I do for them. What I serve him. I'm grateful for him. This is a dynamic type of faith that we have. And I'm so thankful that the Bible just didn't leave us there. I gave two examples. Gave the example of Abraham and of Rahab. I mean, on the opposite extremes. You know what I'm saying? Abraham, the man of faith, and you got Rahab over here, the harlot, the prostitute. But it was through their faith that they were saved. You hear what I'm saying? And so this is what he wants us to have, is this dynamic type of faith. He wants us to live by the same faith that we got saved by. And so we're going to continue on today, and we're going to talk about faith today. And we're going to see this as we move forward in the word, but we want to talk about thank you, Lord. And in the midst of thank you, Lord, I want us to learn about, because there's three things that's to the enemy to our faith. One is called doubt. Somebody say doubt. The other one is called fear. And the third one is unbelief. We're going to deal with these three here because Jesus, you know what I'm saying? This doubt, fear, and unbelief. Amen. Now, let me say what I said to y'all guys, because some of you have been in the house with us for a while, but I want you to understand that. Now, I said that for some of you, amen, this is going to be new. Amen. Praise the Lord. For some of you, it's going to be review. But for everybody, it's going to be true. You hear what I'm saying? It's going to be true. Yes, sir. Amen. Yeah, it's going to be new review, but it's going to be true. And this is what we need. We need to have the truth of God's word. Amen. To keep us. Amen. In the time that we live in, to keep us. And we're going to see this here as we go through the scriptures today. Are you at 1 Timothy? What chapter did we say here? Chapter 1. Look at verse 12 here. We're going to read through verses 12 through verse 15. Amen. Yes, 12 through 15. I want you to follow along with me. I'm going to read. It says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who have enabled me." Somebody say enabled me. "For that he counted me." Somebody say counted me. "Faithful, putting me into the ministry." You hear that? He said, I want to thank the Lord. This is what Paul is saying. It reads on in verses 13 through 15. It says, "Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in" what? "Unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in" who? "Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save" who? "Sinners, of whom" what? "I am chief." Now, this is Paul testifying. Not only is he testifying, he's bragging on God. And he's telling God, he's giving God thanks. He's writing this to his son of the faith, Timothy. He's writing Timothy this letter. He's telling him to watch out for false doctrine earlier in the chapter. He's informing him to watch out for false doctrine. If you get in 1 and 2 Timothy, you'll see that he even begins to talk about those that are coming in the last time, these seducers, some of these that would even cause your faith to be shipwrecked. He called them Hadamus and Alexander, I think of the names there. But there are people that he began to talk about, and he talks about their faith, that they truly are not men of faith, and that you better watch out for them. And even the people that are speaking contrary, he called some of them that they were reprobate in their faith. He even said that. He used those particular types of terms. And so we see a father writing a son in the faith. Matter of fact, this is how he says it. Look here at verse 1 and 2. Look at verse 1. He says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope." Amen. Then he says, "Unto Timothy, my son in the" what? "Faith." He said, this is my son in the gospel, my son in the faith. He says, "Grace, mercy, and peace from our God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord." So we see here that he is writing him. He, first of all, tells and writes into his son. He reminds him that the authority and that the title and everything that I got has come from the Lord thy God. Amen. And so he talks about that. And then he comes and greets him and writes him in a form of that I'm writing to you, my son in the faith. And so he's instructing him. And one of the things that he begins to testify about, we see in verse 12 again, it says, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord." You hear that? So what he's saying, "Thank you, Lord." This is his personal expression of thanksgiving unto God. And we're in the Thanksgiving season. If there's somebody that we need to give thanks to, we need to thank the Lord. See, but he's just not thanking the Lord just to be thanking the Lord. He's not doing it for some religious situation. He's doing it because he understands that His present tense is not like his past tense. Amen. And that his present tense, amen, that his past tense did not mess up his present tense, because God wants to do something in the future tense for him. Amen. Oh, my God. This is why he's saying, thank you, Lord. And so we're going to see this, and we're going to walk through this, because I want to do with this term of unbelief is what I want to get to today here. Now, we understood that we define what faith is according to the Bible. The Hebrews 11:1 says what? Now faith is what? The substance of things hoped for, and what? The evidence of things not seen. So that's defining faith, Reuben. It says now faith is. Now, we understood that faith was what? Present tense. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And it's interesting, the hope for is also Jesus, because Paul said that Christ is our hope. Yes, sir. The Bible says hope is what? The anchor of our soul. Oh, my God. I'm anchored, amen. He anchors me. We always like to say he is the base, the beauty, the boundary. He is the circumference, the sum total. He's all of that, amen. This is why we're going to lean on Jesus, amen, because he's all of that. But the Bible says now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So what does faith do? Faith brings my future into my present. That's what faith does. Faith brings my future into my present. And that's what we want. See, now we understood this. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to do what? Please God. So you got to understand, you got to have faith if you're going to please God. And we already said the object of our faith is Jesus, because he's the author and the finisher of our faith. So we got to have Jesus in our life if we're going to be able to please God. Now, this is what God said. God said when his son, Jesus Christ, when he was up on the Mount of Transfiguration, he come down when they was going to try to build 3 tabernacles. And he comes and he said, no, we're not going to do that. He said, nah. He said, now this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. What? Hear ye him. So we have learned, amen, if Jesus pleases the Father, amen, hallelujah, we got to be pleased with Jesus. You can't have the Father. This is how Jesus said it when he cursed the fig tree. When he had cursed the fig tree, he looked at them. He said, they said, man, that thing got cursed overnight. It shriveled up. He looked at them and he says, have faith in God. And we've always taught in the house, if you're going to have faith in God, that you must have faith in the Son of God. Jesus Christ said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Me and the Father are one. And so we must understand that we do need to have this God kind of faith if we want to bring our future into our present. Not see the future that God wants for us, because we want to please him. Amen. See, the Bible, and I'm reviewing some things, but we got to get this. Paul said it this way. We press towards the mark. We said the mark was what? Pleasing the Father. We press towards the mark for the prize. Paul taught us the prize in Philippians was to win Christ. So I press towards the mark, amen, which is to please God. And I can't please God without winning Jesus. Yo, my God. You see? See, Paul said, now I want to go after that thing that has come after me. You see what I'm saying? So now that Jesus captured my heart, I want to capture him. So this is why I didn't say thank you, Jesus. I said thank you, Lord. Because we understand that there's a difference between Jesus and Lord. One deals with salvation, the other deals with ownership. Amen. So landlord, amen. So when we get saved, we got to what? Make him what? Lord. And Paul called him Lord. You hear what I'm saying? And this is where he must become in our life. He must become the Lord of our life. We talked about the principle of lordship in this house. God been teaching us this year. I'm telling us, man, you got to get back out there, rehearse this stuff, man. Get it down, amen, so it can get down, so it can what? Come back up, amen. That's one thing to get it in. But we said it got to get down so it can what? Come back up. Because when it comes back up, that's that word that you're going to say. You're going to say, faith come by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? The word of God. So when you get the word of God, when you hear the word of God, amen, it causes your faith to do something. It builds your faith. This is why we come to the house of the Lord, so we can hear what? The word of God. I love worship. I really do love worship. But you got to have some word with that worship. When we come down out of those clouds, we got to have some words. See, but the thing about worship, it makes you ready for the word. It's like, look, I get out of all that. I ain't going to be jacked up. Worship removes the doubt, the fear, and also the unbelief. Amen? See, because really worship, this is what worship does. Worship comes to, when we come to church, it allows us to fast and pray from what we normally do. You hear what I'm saying? See, because this is the key to it. We're going to learn that how we deal with unbelief is through fasting and praying. The Holy Ghost just gave me a revelation of this. When we come to church, we, number one, we're saying time out. Time out for life. Time out for craziness. I'm separate. Look, I'm coming to the house of God, and I'm fasting and praying all that craziness. And for this moment, I'm coming in here to give Him the worship and the glory that is due His name. So I get caught up in worship, and when we come into worship and praise and receive it and enter on in it, see, this is what it does. It removes all the unbelief that we have in our life. You know what I'm saying? Any doubt, fear, and unbelief is removed when you go up in worship. But the only thing about it is you got to come back down. And you got to work this thing out. So now you got to have a shout with cloud. You see what I'm saying? You got to learn how to get the doubt out so you can have a shout that's going to have some cloud in your life. We must have this thing. This is why faith is important to us. Because if we don't have this faith, I'm telling you, the best you're going to get is what you want. But what we want to do, we want to do what? We want to please God. Hubby and wife, you just look at each other and say, look, we're going to please God. We're going to please God. That's what we want to do. This is why we're together, to please God. This is why we're together. This is why we hooked up. We hooked up to please God. I know all the other goosebumps and all that stuff, but you live long enough, you stay married long enough, you're going to know that ain't going to keep you. Amen? Nah. We need Jesus. And so we want to please the Heavenly Father. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press towards the mark. The mark is pleasing Him. Amen. I press towards the mark to the prize. The prize is winning Jesus. To the prize. Amen. I press towards the mark for the prize of what? The high calling. The high calling is what? Sonship. I want to be like Him. Not only do I want to win Him, but now I want to be just like Him. Amen. Because Jesus, His ultimate goal was to what? Please His Father. That's the high calling of God. I want to be a son of God. I've always taught this house. He's not coming back for many fathers. He's coming back for sons. If He would have had a father problem, He would have gave a father. What did He give? He said, I give my only begotten what? Son. Because He wants some sons. He gave a son to do what? Get some sons. Amen. He was the Son of God, amen, that became the Son of Man so that He can win what? The Son of Man. He can win us. And so He is our example. He's exactly who we should look like. He's exactly who we're chasing. He's exactly who we want to win. This is why 2014, we're going to do it. We're going to lean on Him. We're going to lean on Jesus. Y'all ready to lean on Jesus? Because He's going to bring us on in. Amen. I don't know about you, Joy. Joy, look. I know I'm getting close because the devil acting up. I know I'm getting closer because he's trying to make my seasons dry. He's trying to bring confusion and division to my life. He got me shaking my head. I know that I'm close. Amen. And look, I ain't going back. I'm leaning in. I'm going to lean on Jesus in 2014. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. It's going to be some leading going on. I don't know if I'm going to get this thing again today. We're going to let the Holy Ghost do what He wants to do. I mean, there's freedom. There's freedom in the Holy Spirit. Amen. To for Him just to bring up what's already on the inside of us. And so the idea of it is that we got to fill our cup. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up, Lord. Fill it up to overflowing in my life. Because our ministry, when we go out of these doors, should really be the ministry of the overflow. It's just my time with Him. My time with Him. My ministry should just overflow just for my time of being with Him. Because He's going to give you enough for you. And look, and you know, look, and when He give you something, you know, look, it's much larger than you. You can't keep it. You can't keep it. It's like a secret, you know. I know I can't do it. Look, if you want to tell me, talking about, I got a secret to tell. Lord, don't you tell me? We ain't playing no secrets around here. Amen. You know what I'm saying? We do have mysteries. Oh, that's the Holy Ghost. See, a mystery is something that you hear about, you just shake your head. It's a mystery. Amen. But a secret is something you're hiding. So I ain't down with the secrets. So you got some secrets, you better keep your secrets. Amen. I'm going to share them. And this is the same way with the word. When you get them, when you get the word of God, you don't want to just hold on to this thing, man. You want to share it with someone. You got to tell somebody. Let's look on here. Let's look what the Lord wants to speak to us today. He's already spoke to us, but we're going to continue on. Now, we see here that he gives thanks unto the Lord. And look what he gives. You know, why should we thank Jesus? And look here. This is why we should thank Jesus, the same reason that Paul thanked him. First of all, Paul said in verse 12, he enabled me. Somebody say he enabled me. That means he empowered me and he strengthened me. Paul understood this because Paul was living a life that was contrary to the things of God. The Bible says that our gifts and callings are out with repentance. Amen. What I'm saying is God don't take it back. He anointed you or he gifted you. He had gifted you from the very beginning of time. When you come out of your mother's womb, you had everything that he wanted you to have concerning the gifts. Amen. What I'm talking about is your motivational gift, what he has called you to do. You had that when you come out of the womb. Now you had to choose to receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. Those ministry, that manifestation gift to be upon your life. But then he said he gave some gifts. Amen. The fivefold ministry gifts here. But what I want to say unto you here is Paul was already gifted before he had an encounter with the Lord. And Paul was really doing what he do to the nth degree. He was persecuting. He was corralling the Christians, putting them in prisons, witnessing deaths and all of that. He was against the things of God. He was. And he was working of that gift. But the Bible tells us and shows us over in the book of Acts chapter 9 that how he had an encounter with the Lord. Amen. And this is what he said. Is that you, Lord? He was persecuting the church. And he has an encounter with the Lord thy God. This is what happened. See, he did not change his purpose, but he changed his direction. And so some of us, we already got what God would desire for us to have. Amen. We're just going in the wrong direction. You see what I'm saying? You already got some type of purpose in your life. You're doing some of the things that God wants you to do, but you're just doing it in the wrong direction. You're doing it in the wrong neighborhood, the wrong, you know what I'm saying? You're doing it in and of your own self. But I've always said unto you that all of us are gifted, but it's the anointing of God that gives the credibility to our life. And he's just not going to anoint anything. It's the anointing that makes the difference. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Amen. And so what I'm saying is Paul was living a life, but it was a life. He was living it to the max, but it was contrary to God. And God took that same zeal, the same energy, the same vigor that he had, and he turned it around in a positive direction. He said, boy, I want you to come and serve me. I want you to come and do what I've called you to do. And Paul understood this, that what was going on in his life. So Paul is saying, thank you, Lord, that I'm not what I used to be. Amen. That you did not hold my past. Amen. To hold up my present. Amen. And to amen so that I can encounter and experience my future. Amen. Paul knew what it was to be in faith. And this is why he teaches Timothy all through 1st and 2nd Timothy. He talks about faith all along the way. But Jesus Christ, I like this, but Jesus Christ, we're going to see Jesus is the ultimate teacher. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit brings us into remembrance of what he said. So now we must have the Holy Spirit in our heart. And when we receive the Holy Spirit is the teacher of the church. But he teaches us what Jesus taught. You know what I'm saying? Oh, my God. He teaches us. The Holy Spirit teaches us what Jesus taught. So we're going to see here today what Jesus teaches us about faith. Because if we were to know it or not, Paul was taught by him. Paul was on the backside of the Arabian desert. Amen. He didn't come with the crew. Amen. But the same God that trained them, trained him, too. So his faith is not a different faith than anybody else. It's the same kind of faith. Amen. Faith in God. He's trusting in God. And so he begins to testify. And the first thing he says is that he has enabled me. That's one reason we can thank God. You can be disabled. I'm talking with all limbs working, everything swinging, and still disabled. You hear what I'm saying? But you're still disabled, but not, you see, but when he comes into your life, he enables you. See, look, so this is the reality, and this is the revelation of it. If Jesus Christ is not your Savior and Lord, you are what? Disabled. Oh, my God. But when he comes into your life, amen, he enables me. Oh, my God. And this is what he was saying. He says, I thank my Lord Jesus Christ because he what? He enabled me. He enabled me, man. And then he don't just leave that. Then he says he what? Counted me. Now this word enable, there's another text that he talks about that he talks about how Jesus Christ made him. Right. Yeah, he did. Yeah, yeah. Paul talks about even how he made me a able minister. This is what he said. He said, my ability is not in and of myself. He made me who I am. And this is what we must understand when we give him thanks. When we say thank you, Lord, we're saying, Lord, I thank you because you enabled me. And not only did you enable me, you counted me. Not just counted me, but you counted me what? Faithful. And when you say faithful, amen. See, there's a difference between faithless and faithful. Faithless means I don't have what? I don't have any faith. And you don't want to be a faithless. He speaks to them, you faithless and perverse generation. You know, that's what he said. Faithless, it means you don't have any faith. And if you don't have any faith, you're what? Disabled and you're what? Perverted. He says, you faithless generation. That's what he taught. That's what Jesus said that. He called them a perverse generation. They don't have faith. You faithless and perverse generation. Without faith. But Paul said, now you enabled me. Not only did you enable me, what? You counted me. What? You just didn't count me, but you counted me what? Faith, what? Full. Full of faith. Oh, my God. I'm full of faith. And this is why he said, I thank you. I thank you that you done took an estimation of my life. And you said I'm full of faith. What was the third thing he says? He says, you enabled me. You what? And what's the other one? He put me in. Oh, my God. You see, what he did, he said, not only did you enable me, you counted me, but you what? You put me. The Bible says he places us in the body where what? Pleases him. Amen. Since I want to be pleased with him. So if I'm pleased with him, place me where I need to be placed. Somebody might be out of place. And when you're out of place, it's hard to give them thanks. When you put yourself in a place that you're not supposed to be, it's hard to give them thanks. Because doubt, fear, and unbelief is in the house. But when you don't have doubt, fear, and unbelief, when you're faithful, you're in the right place. Oh, yeah, you're in the right place. You are in the right place when you're faithful. So he said, man, he said, he has put me in the ministry. And he's saying, thank you. Thank you for all of these things that you've done to my life. Now he begins to take us on a quick drive-by of his past. He's going to give a quick drive-by. Look right here. He's going to give a quick drive-by because we all have past. And you got to understand that when you have faith in him, you hear what I'm saying? When you have faith in him, it brings your what? Your future to the present. And it eclipses your past. Oh, my God. look, I was thinking about this with, you know, they're using the term dog out there in the road. Now, you're my dog. And this is what the Holy Spirit said. He said, nah, you weren't even a dog. When you were in the world, you was a low down, dirty dog. You know what I'm saying? I just have a flashback. No, I just want no dog. No, I was a low down, dirty dog when I was in the world. Okay, I see y'all angels, wings, and your halos going. Now, most of us, when we were in the world, we were just a low down, dirty dog. We did stuff, said stuff. I'm telling you, man, it's a mystery. It's a mystery how he saved us. It's a mystery. It didn't have anything to do with what I did. It's the mystery how he saved me. It don't even make any sense that he would give his only begotten son for a low down, dirty dog. This is what Paul said. Paul said, I was a low down, dirty dog. And with that in my life, he said, but he said, look, with that in my life, I come, amen, I move from my unbelief to my faith. And because I'm in faith, he has enabled me, counted me faithful, and has placed me in this place that I'm in. This is what he's saying. He said, look, God put me here. God has placed, God came into my life, and he placed me here. He placed me here. This is what Paul said. Now look what Paul says. He says here, look, verse 13, who was before a blasphemer? Oh, my God. That word, that's a rough word. That means to speak evil of, you know, to speak irreverently of God. Amen. To slander the things of God. He says, I was a blasphemer, a persecutor. He says, I was the one that gave oppressive treatment to people. You know what I'm saying? He says, I did not give people the right for their wrong, but I gave them the wrong for the right. You hear what I'm saying? That's what he was. He said, I'm giving them the wrong for the right that they. He says, I was a persecutor. Not only was I, he says, I was injurious. He says, man, I was harmful, hurtful, and abusive. That's what he said. He says, but I obtained mercy. Somebody say, I obtained mercy. Oh, my God. See, that's the mystery. The mystery is called mercy. I obtained mercy. That's why I like to say, God, you've been so merciful to me, so kind to me. He says, but I obtained mercy. Now, mercy is not only for your present, but it's also that you can do your future. Oh, my God. You're going to see this here. See, it's not just, see, he obtained mercy. And that mercy was fresh upon him. And when he received that particular mercy, it allowed him to get saved. But it's not only, see, but the same faith that keeps you is the same faith that saves you is the same faith that got to keep you. Amen. And so he obtained this mercy. Now, look down at verse 16 here. I want you to see this. It says, howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy. Somebody say, that in me. Oh, my God. He says, now, look, you enabled me. Amen. You, what was the second one? You counted me faithful. You did what? You put me in a mission. And what does he say here? He says, look, what did he say here? Look at verse again. He says, howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy. What? That in me. Now he get ready. Not only did he put me in ministry, now he said, I got to use you. I'm getting ready to use you. He don't just place you in something just to place you there. He placed you there to use you. But he says, I live this type of life, but I obtain mercy. And he obtained mercy for his future. Look what his mercy says. He says, verse 16, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a what? A pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. What he's saying is, my crazy life, my low down, dirty dog life was a pattern. If God would be graceful and merciful to me, woo, he'll do it for everybody else. That's why I obtained the mercy. That's why he redeemed me, because he wanted to use my life, amen, to say, look, if I do it for Eric White, if I do it for Reuben Patterson, if I do it for Joyce Timon, amen, I'm going to do it for everybody else. The life will be a pattern. And then when he counts you, when he enables you, when he puts you there, when he's using you, you tell folks, yeah, I was a low down, dirty dog. But what? I obtained what? Mercy in my life. Oh, yes, sir. I obtained it. I think about how my son had to get his passport in order for him to go on the trip. Amen. He was waiting for that thing. He had to go apply. He had to release his faith. Amen. He had to do something. But the day came, it came in the mail, and he did what? Obtain his passport. And now that he had his passport, guess what? He was ready to fly. I'm ready to go do what I need to do. See, you obtained what? Mercy. And without mercy, you couldn't do the ministry that he has for your life. You got to obtain mercy. Amen. I ain't talking about contain it, obtain it. Amen. Yeah, I got to receive it. I got to receive the mercy in my life so I can go and do what God has called me to do. Boy, because you know what? You're going to mess up tomorrow. And the day, before the day over, you're going to do something. And you're going to say, Lord, look, your mercy, God, I need your mercy in my life. But we want to magnify this thing. And we want to see here, Paul is going to tell us what was the main issue with his life. Look what he says here, back up in verse 13. Who was a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious. He says, but I obtained mercy. Somebody say, because. I did it what? Ignorantly. In what? Unbelief. See, unbelief and ignorance are associated with one another. See, unbelief causes you to do ignorant things. That's what unbelief will do. It'll cause you to do something ignorant. It's because that you have unbelief in your life. And when you got unbelief in your life, you don't believe the things of God. The only person you're probably believing in is yourself or whoever else talking to you. You know what I'm saying? But you got to understand that we have an object of our faith. He says, I done this. I obtained mercy because I done it ignorantly. You hear what I'm saying? See, that's when I didn't know any better. I was ignorant. You know, I retained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. So when you got unbelief operating in your life, you're in ignorance. Somebody say ignorant. Now, Paul's ministry was, I always like a way he would write. He says, I would have you not to be ignorant, brother. Paul said, y'all just ignorant. And I don't want you to be ignorant. Amen. But he connects his ignorance with his unbelief. And so when ignorance is around, when we're operating in ignorance, it means that we're no longer in faith any longer. We don't move to unbelief. See, but it just don't start with unbelief. It starts with doubt. Then it moves to fear. And then it moves with unbelief. Because in the Bible, he begins to tell us how to do with unbelief. We're going to hit three scriptures, and we're going to be out of here. That okay? I want us to turn. We're going to be right in the book of Matthew. Go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. I want you to see these things because we must understand that my faith brings me into my presence, into my future, into my present. My faith, amen, brings my future into my presence. And we already said we want to thank you, Lord, but I need some relief from unbelief in my life. Because if I've been acting ignorant in any area of my life, it means I don't have faith in him. I like to say that he is either Lord of all or not Lord at all. What I'm saying is you can't say, well, Lord, I give you this area and that area, but I'm working on this one right here. This one is mine. I'll work this one out. He's either Lord of all or not Lord at all. Amen. And you want him to be Lord. Lord, we talked about lordship. We understand this lordship is saying what? No to myself and what? Yes to God. That's lordship. No to myself. No to my flesh, but yes to God. I crown him Lord of my life. Lord, 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 Lord of my life. Are you at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8? I'm not there yet, but get to chapter 8. Oh, I'm going to get there. I'm sorry. Matthew 8, and we're going to look. We'll deal with fear first, okay? Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. For the sake of time, we're going to go to, I may say a little bit about the story. We're familiar with this here. Jesus Christ has entered, look at verse 23. He had entered into the ship. His disciples followed him. Amen. Disciples are what? Followers. They were following him. See, because you're following him, you still got to know your faith is going to be tried. The Bible says what? Count it all faith. Count it all joy. Amen. When you fall into what? Diverse temptations, various types of temptations. Amen. So your faith is going to be tried. You got to stand up for what you counted for. You know what I'm saying? For who you are and whose you are. You want to stand up for that. So the faith was, he says, and when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. So good disciples, that's a disciple, is a follower, a pupil. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. Somebody say a storm. Insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was what? Asleep. Who was asleep? Jesus was asleep. But we know if he's like his father, the father never sleep, neither do he ever slumber. You know what I'm saying? Jesus, look, Jesus might be asleep, but Jesus in control. Amen. See, and that's why he says, I give my beloved what? Rest. My God, if he can get some rest, don't you think you can get some rest if you his child? Oh, my God. What he's saying is, look, I stay on the guard post. Go to sleep, man. Yeah, go to sleep. It says here in verse 25, it says, and his disciples came to him and awoke him saying, Lord, save us, we perish. You hear that? Now, I believe that the Lord done said, I done saved y'all. Save us? I thought I done saved you. You come and say, bail me out. Look, no, I already done that. That's all right. Look, my showing up is an indication that it's already been done. Because we know he won't go forfeit on the plan of God. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So they were already saved. They were with who? The Savior. Oh, my God. It don't get any better than that. With the Savior, you're not saved. Oh, Lord, save us. Now, how many of us, after we get saved, still run and say, oh, Lord, save us? It has a lot to do with where you're at in your walk with him. He wakes up and says, what? You need to be saved, you. See, this is what I'm talking about. The same faith that you got saved by is the same faith you got to live by. Irregardless if the storm should come up. The Bible says it's going to do what? Rain upon what? The just. And who? The unjust. Oh, yeah, all of us going to get rained on. All of us going to deal with some storms in life. All of us going to deal with some things that we that weren't in our deck of cards. You know what I'm saying? It's going to come. Yes, sir, it's going to come. So they looked at him. They said, look, Joash. They said, look now. At verse 26, look how Jesus responds to them. Because he's the ultimate teacher. When they wanted to know how to pray, they said, Lord, teach us to pray how John taught his disciples. So the disciples are running to them, say, save us. Look what he says. He says now, they said, save us, we perish. I believe he looked at them and said, who told you you're going to die? We perish. It's over with. We going under. It's down. And you got Jesus done miracles and everything with you. Now look what it said. See, this is a matter of faith. Where are you at in your faith? And what I'm saying is, if you want your future to come to your present, you got to have faith in God. And I'm talking about, and the goal is to please him. I want to please the Father. What the Father, what you got for me, I want it in my future now. But faith is the thing that brings it to the fore. See, let me know, God. I'm getting ahead of myself. See, faith brings it forward. It's like the Syro old Phoenician woman. When she came there, weren't even worthy of anything. She says, either the low down, dirty dogs even eat from the master's table. And he told her, look at his arm. Boy said, whoa, I haven't seen such what? Great faith. Great faith. Great faith. She came and picked her thing up. What did she do? She brought her what? Daughter's future what? To the present. Through what? Her faith. Her faith. Her faith done that. Yes, sir. She get going on back home, girl. That daughter, that girl healed. She healed. How about the centurion soldier? How about the commander, the Italian soldier there, the captain of the army? Oh, he don't need to come to my house. Just tell him to speak the word. Just speak the word, amen? Just speak the word, amen? He told him, no, don't send him to him. I just speak the word. And boy, he said, I haven't seen such great faith in all of Israel. And you know what happened? He healed him. He brought, amen, the future to the present by his faith. And this is what I'm saying is that we got to have relief from unbelief because unbelief is the root of this thing. See, doubt and fear are all what I call fruit, amen, but the root of this thing is unbelief. See, I start doubting because of my belief system. You see what I'm saying? I start fearing because of my belief system. Amen. This unbelief will cause you to stay out of the will of God for your life. But I'm telling you, but when you are faithful, you'll do like Paul and say, I thank you, Lord. I'm telling you, this Thanksgiving, not only Thanksgiving Day, but for the rest of my life, I'm going to say, thank you, Lord. Amen. It might not be what I want it to be right now, but what? Thank you, Lord. I'm going to stay in full of faith so I can bring my future to my present because I know he's not done with me yet. Amen. I'm glad where you put me at and where you placed me at. So let's look at this here. Look what he says. He says, verse 26, and he said unto them, why are ye what? Fearful, O ye of little faith. He says, why are you fearful? This word fear here is an interesting word. It's lacking self-assurance. And it's not talking about self-assurance in yourself. Nah, insurance in who he is. You got to know but know but know that he is who he say he is. He is not only my Savior, but he is my Lord. He is the Lord thy God. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and also the God of Eric. The God of Eric and Angela, the God of Bela. He is who he say he is. There can't be no doubt in that thing. It cannot be any fear. The Bible says perfect love casteth out all fear, but in fear there is torment. And so you can't stay in fear because if you stay in fear, torment is coming to your life. I mean, destruction is coming to your life. I'm telling you, man, you cannot stay in this state of fear. Look what he says. He says unto them, why are ye fearful? Again, fear deals with torment, affliction, and punishment when you stay in fear. Fearful. He says, why are ye fearful? He says, not only do you have fear, you full of fear. You sitting here full of fear. Then he says, the contrary to that is what? Oh, ye of what? Little faith. When you're fearful, you got little faith operating in your life. And we're sitting here, we need to have great faith in our life. But he says, you got little faith in your life when you're operating in fear. When the enemy when fear has knocked on your door, and it's going to knock. You know what I'm saying? But when you let fear come in to take over and you become fearful. See, but I like to say faith combats my fear. You hear what I'm saying? Faith fights my fear. Amen. And if we go back over, we don't have time to go over there. But the scripture tells us in 1 Timothy 1 and 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with what? Faith and what? Love. The grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love. So faith and love works together. Oh, my God. It's like a grace is the coin, but it's a two-headed coin. Faith on one side and love on the other side. You hear what I'm saying? And so when fear comes, amen, faith comes back my fear. But it says, perfect love casteth out all what? Fear, amen? And love and faith and grace come from what? Him. It comes all from him. It all comes from him. And this is why he is the object of our faith. When we're talking about in faith, I got confidence. I got trust. I got belief. Amen. I'm not wavering on this thing that Jesus Christ is not only my Lord, he is my Savior. And I want to be just like him. I want to please my Heavenly Father. And when I please my Heavenly Father, I don't care what's going on in my life. I'm not going to be fearful. I'm not going to be fearful. I'm going to stay in faith. Amen. Because fear is just something that comes in my life. He wants to torment me. He wants to punish me. The enemy does. This is why Jesus, the word says, the devil cometh, but he has no part in me. He ain't got no part in me. He can come all he wants. The only way he gets a part is we let him have a part. And I'm telling you, if doubt, fear, or unbelief comes in into your life, you're opening up the door to the enemy. Amen? So we got to deal with this fear. Amen? Say, faith combats my fear. I got to keep my faith game up. Amen? I got to stay in faith. This is not religious, what I'm talking about, guys. This is real. I got to keep my confidence and trust. Just like you confident that paycheck going to come, whatever your cycle of pay is, just like you confident, if you put in your work and do what you do, you're confident that the check is going to come. That your confidence got to be greater than that. You hear what I'm saying? Your confidence has to be even greater than that. That I have no doubt that God is going to take care of me. Whatever storm comes into my life, I'm confident I'm not going to get afraid, or as the world said, scared. I'm not going to get scared of anything like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm ready to deal with it. Then he arose and did what? Rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Well, what you think he's saying? If you're faithful, you would have stood up and done the same thing I done. Oh, my God. Look, that little snow was coming out there last night, and I know my son was supposed to touch down at CVG at a certain time. I stood out there, and I stood at the door, Pastor Allen, and I looked out there, seen the stuff like, I say, man, I speak to the winds. I speak to, yes, sir, that plane going to land with no harm. It's going to be on time. It's going to hit the thing, and they're going to come out of there full of faith. Oh, yeah, I stood in faith. See, because the enemy will play on your mind. I ain't seen my son in 7 days. Oh, well, what if something happened over in Houston when they land? Well, oh, the devil is a liar. Let me stand on up, amen, and speak to the storm. I speak to the wind. We riding on the way there, the highway backed up because of wrecks and stuff. I said, boy, oh, Lord, look, we just started praying. Our faith kicked in. When fear shows up, if you are who you say you are, faith is going to kick in. Oh, it's like your sump pump. It's like your sump pump. Your sump pump, you know, when too much water gets in, it what? Kicks in. Amen. The Bible says what? The enemy may come in like a what? A flood. But what? He said he's going to raise up a what? A standard against him. A standard going to raise up on the inside. It's automatic when you got faith in him. When you're at work and something side swipes you, and you know, where did that come from? No, I'm standing in faith. That's going to let me close my door and get on faith in there. Get on faith in there, because the enemy trying to get me off of my course. So we can't. So I need some relief from unbelief. Because, see, fear is a fruit. Fear is one of the fruits out there. When you see fear operating in something like unbelief is in the neighborhood. Unbelief is in the neighborhood. Now, look what they said, verse 27. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? See, this is the kind of faith, Elder, that God wants us to have. That other people look at us and say, whoa, what kind of man is that? Amen. Look, and when they say that, I'm going to say, look, it's the man. His name is Christ. That's the man. His name is Christ. And look, and they shouldn't even, and when they marvel, they're going to already know who the man is. Because the man has already been on the scene in my life. You know, I ain't got him in, no, I ain't pulling out the cape. You know, no, he already on display. He already walking with me and talking with me. He already, amen, I'm following him. I'm a disciple. I'm a son of the Most High God. My faith is on display. I'm not hiding who I am. I'm not hiding in who I believe in them. So the Bible said they marveled. They marveled and said, what manner of man is this? I believe my wife want to look at me one day and say, I just marveled. What manner of man is this? That's a man full of faith. I'm going to give y'all men a nugget, man. If you get full of faith, boy, you'll treat her like a lady. Yeah, you'll treat her how she's supposed to be treated if you get full of that faith. And she'll say, woo, what manner of man is this? Huh? Oh, God, he makes me. Woo, he makes me. Oh, God, I'll leave y'all. Let me move on there. Pastor Anderson know what I'm talking about. Amen. I should receive an offering from every one of you men. I just gave you a nugget. I gave you a nugget right there, boy. Woo, God. When that lady said, what manner of man is this, Lord? I ain't talking about the other people. She's telling the Lord, what manner of man is this? You gave me a God, man. Amen. A man that's after your own heart. A man that's faithful in the midst of the storm. He ain't bailing out, hiding, looking for me to step up. Nah, he's standing tall and looking good. Amen. Amen. Let's look here. Ah, no, y'all been so graceful and kind to me. Let's look at the second thing here. We got two more scriptures and we're going to be out of here. Matthew 14. We're staying in Matthew. Matthew 14. Are you receiving something today? It's always my desire that we grow, that we leave from church, and that we're the better for it. We're going to say thank you, Lord. And the way we say thank you, Lord, we got to have some relief from our unbelief. Because if we got unbelief, which means we got doubt and fear in our life, if that's in our life, you can't give him the thanks that's due his name. You can't do it. You can't do it. But we all obtain the same mercy that Paul did. Amen. So that I can have faith, Brother Joy, so that my future can come on into my present. Amen. Okay, are you at Matthew chapter 14? Let's look at verse 31 here. Amen. Well, we got to go up here a little long. Look at verse 25. It says, this is when one of the disciples, we know who this is. This is Peter walking on the water. He says, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Amen. He walking on the water. Amen. Oh, my God. He walking on the water. He says, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were what? Troubled, saying, it is what? A spirit. And they cried out what? For fear. You hear that? They cried out for what? For fear. You see what I'm saying? They got fear. Fear is in the neighborhood here. But wherever there's fear, doubt is the cousin to fear. They all kin, man. I'm telling you. We're going to see this here. He said they were fearful when they seen him walking. And then he told them not to be troubled. Look here, verse 29. I'm sorry, verse 27. What did I stop? Verse 27? 27, all right, amen. It says, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, says, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. See, it is I, I'm the object of your faith. It's me, man. It's me, yeah. The author and the finisher of your faith. It's me, don't be afraid. Look what he says here, verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me what? To come to thee on the water. He said, now I want to come where you at. Oh, my God. When you got faith in him, you want to come where he at. Oh, God, yes, sir. I don't care if you are in the boat, he in the water. See, I always tell you, one of our dangers is, see, when you have doubt, fear, and unbelief in your life, it keeps you over here on the bank. I'm going to stand over here and fish. But when Jesus, when you full of faith, boy, you cause you to walk on water, man. You out here in the deep now. You out here in the deep. You know what I'm saying? Now faith. Now faith will bring you out into the deep. And so we see here, he desired to come out where his faith was at. You hear what? Where's your faith at? Who's your faith in? Jesus is leading us. Amen. We've been led. It's the Spirit of God. Amen. It's leading us. But see, he's our leader. He's our Savior. We're following him. Amen. And we want to be just like him. And if him and the Father are one, we want to please the Father. We want to do what pleases the Father. So let's look here. Look what he says here. He says, 29, and he said, what? Come. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word. Jesus spoke. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to do what? Go to Jesus. But when he what? Saw the wind, boisterous, there you go, strong, he was what? Afraid. So he saw something, amen, that was oh gosh, I see this storm. A strong storm, boisterous is a strong storm. He was afraid and began to do what? Sink. Fear will cause you, you hear that? The sink. He cried saying, what? Lord, what? Save me. Oh my, here we go again. I thought I saved you, Peter. The first time they all came, save us. See, there's one thing to be, oh, I was just with them. But now you're out there on your own. Save me. I thought I saved you. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. He goes on to say here, he says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. Boy, I thank God, ain't he so just loving and kind. He immediately stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of what? Little faith again. Then he says, wherefore didst thou what? Doubt. What did you doubt me at? What did you, you asked me to come, and I said, what? Come. And then you get out there, and you start looking. The Bible tells us, look not to the left, nor to the right. But keep your eyes, looking unto Jesus, the word author and the finisher of my faith. Looking unto the hills from which cometh my help coming where? It come from the Lord. Jay and Asha, keep your eyes on the Lord. Yeah. Jay, the Lord gave me a word for you at the beginning of the service. I didn't share it. I'm going to share it right now. The Lord told me to tell you, do not be afraid. Let go and let God. Don't be discouraged in what is happening in your life at this moment, but be encouraged. Amen, because he's in complete control. He's orchestrating everything that's happening, amen, for you to grow your faith, amen. To grow, this is the season and the time. Lord, say he's growing you like never before. Let go, open up your heart, and embrace and see what he's going to do in your life. The Bible says, they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, amen, shall be filled. You're going to be filled, brother, amen. You're going to be filled. The Lord gave that to me at the beginning of the service. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for bringing it back to my remembrance. Just for you, brother. Don't he love us that much? He's personal. He'll stop service and say, let me tell Jay what he needs to know. Amen. What he needs to hear to build his faith and his confidence, to let him know that I'm doing what I need to do. And the Bible says, though they have faith and patience, inherit the promises of God. You got to have faith and some patience to inherit that which God has for us. Amen. So let's look here. He says, now look at verse 32. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Now he says, now why do you have doubt? Now let's look at this word doubt. We'll look at it very briefly here. Doubt is an interesting word too. It means to waver in your opinion. I'm wavering. Now he tell me to step out here. I step out. Then I get out there and I see some wind. I see some storm coming. Now I begin to waver in my opinion of what he said to me. I've always told you that there comes a preceding word, but then the preceding word becomes the engrafted word. The word is planted on the inside of you. See, usually what doubt, fear, and unbelief comes is when the preceding word has come and you ain't got it in you. It had been engrafted in you and planted. So when God gives you a word, you got to take that word that you heard. You hear what I'm saying? And you got to take that word, amen, and look at that word and work that word and confess that word and speak that word over your life, amen. That very word that God just gave you, you got to take that word because it lines up with the word of God, and you got to declare that in my life. No matter what's going on, God working out something on the inside of me. He says, if I hunger and thirst for righteousness, that I shall be filled. He's allowing these things to happen because he's bringing me into my destiny. I'm going to be a son of the Most High God, one that walks by faith and not by sight, one that's not going to be moved by a storm, one that's going to step out on the sea when he tells me to come, and I'm not going to have any doubt. I'm going to get my doubt out. I'm going to have a shout with clout. So I'm going to have a shout with clout. I got to get the doubt out of my life because the doubt will keep me out for what God has for my life. A doubt and fear, they're cousins. They're cousins. They're cousins. So we see this here. Now look what they did. Here go Jesus showing out again. And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and did what? Worship him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. They were doubting that he was who he said he was. He said, thou art the truth. You are the Son of God. Out there walking on the water. The Son of God. Thou art the truth. So he's dealing with their doubt. He's dealing with their fear. But what he's ultimately dealing with is their unbelief. This is a root of. We're going to turn here. This is where we're going to close. Please look with me. Hallelujah. Please look with me in Matthew chapter 17, verse 19. Matthew 17 and 19. And the scriptures are full of things about doubt. You could go into the doubt thing, even when he cursed that fig tree. He said, if you do not doubt, but believe in your heart, he said, you can even speak to the mountain. And tell that mountain to be cast into the sea to be gone. And it got to be. He said, yeah, you cannot doubt. You cannot doubt. Amen. Are you at Matthew chapter 17? Look at verse 19. We're going to be closing here. What my keyboard? What my brother minister? Come on, brother. Amen. Matthew chapter 17, verse 19. Are you at 17? Oh, gosh. Let me get there. Hallelujah. Matthew 17. Make sure I'm at the right place here. Then came the disciples apart. So why can't we? Yeah, here we go. We're right here. This is the situation where, look up at verse, where we talked about verse 17. This was the man that came and had a son that was a lunatic. He was so afraid. He often fell into the fire and into the water. He had a deranged son. And look at verse 16. He says, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could do not what? Cure him. You hear that? What happens if, see, and what we got to understand that we're not the one that does the curing anyway. We got to be able to release our faith. But when we got unbelief, we can't release our faith. I thank so God that the Lord spoke to me on the night of worship, and he told me, he says, nah, you ask someone, somebody, in this time of worship that we have, somebody might need some prayer. And I thank God that we asked that. There were people, there were some people that got prayed for that hadn't been in church in years. There was a lady that had brought her son, and she says, my son needed to get back right with God. This night of worship shifted him, and he came to the altar. Thank you, prayed with him. There was a young lady that needed prayer. Sister Camila brought a young lady with her. She needed prayer, had a little son, needed prayer. And what I'm saying is the atmosphere was conducive for God to do what he needed to do. And that atmosphere, for those that prayed, they had to have faith in him to come into agreement with the kingdom of heaven concerning that situation and that circumstance. That's what we all needed. We all needed that. We needed someone, when I came unto the altar and gave my life publicly, I needed to stand for someone that believed in God, that God could save me from my dirty dog ways, my low-down dirty dog way. I had to have someone that could have that level of faith. This is why God, this is why we obtain mercy. That one day somebody could stand before us and pray with us and wonder if God would ever save me, a wretch like me, not knowing the very person that God sent them to, went through what you went through. Oh, my God. Lord, Lord, Lord. And if I know that he saved me as without a shadow of a doubt, he going to save you. Amen. Let's look here. It goes on to say, he brings his son that's sick. He says, I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Verse 16. And Jesus answered and said, oh, what faithless and what perverse generation. You hear what he said? He said, y'all, he it's like he looked at his disciples and says, what? Amen. You, oh, faithless and perverse generation. Now, we say, oh, God is so loving, caring, and sharing. God, he wouldn't dare talk to his people like that. Amen. Why wouldn't he? If you read that word close enough, the Bible says those he loves, he chastises. He don't do it like man. The Bible says when we punish our children, we do it for our pleasure. Damn, I'm tearing this butt up. But a real father and a real mother, I don't know about you, but I know I had to do it. But when I was doing it, it was hurting me the whole time. This is how God was when it was with his son. I had to do it, and it was hurting me all the time. It's the same way with our lives. And with Jesus with his disciples, he says, I got to do this because I don't want you to remain an old, faithless, and perverse generation. See, there's one thing to be ignorant. There's one thing to be a young fool. You know our whole thing. But that's a sad thing to be an old fool when you know better and you're not. Yeah. And so look what he says here. He goes on. And Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you or permit you? Bring him hither to me. Oh, my God. Just bring him on here. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that what? Very hour. Then it says, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we what? Cast him out. Why couldn't we get rid of the devil? Well, he already answered. He said, first of all, you're faithless and a perverse generation. See, but most folks will say, now you're going to tell them how to deal with it. He says, this type or this particular one only comes out through what? Fasting and praying. And what many people think about here is they think about food and they think about those types of things. What he's talking about here is he's not talking about this type of demon. That's what I want to say. He's not talking about the demon. This type of demon, you just got to fast and pray because that's a tough demon. No, you just got to have faith. What he was saying is, I'm not talking about the demon. I'm talking about your unbelief. You got to fast, and because he says you perverse and faithless. Faithless. It connects that we don't have faith in him. We do not believe that he can cast out the devil that is in the little boy. So he says, get out of my way, and I'll cast the devil out. I'll do it. And he came out the self-same hour. So what you saying? What I'm saying is the anointing, faith, will cause you to bring the future to the present, not only for your life, but somebody else's life. Okay. let me validate this. Go on, stop playing, brother. Amen. Let me go and justify this. Let me go and justify this. You can come. You're fine. Let me go and justify this. And this is where we're going to end at, okay? Praise and worship. Y'all get ready. Y'all got a song? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to go out of here with a song. I want to justify this. Do you remember? Oh, Jesus. Pray. Y'all pray. Hallelujah. The devil tried to come and take that thing from me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He tried to steal that seed. Amen. Pray. He going to come. Bullshit. This is the name of the Holy Spirit gave me this to say. Mashana kambo shini ka. Ebo shini la kambro shini la ka. Ebo shini la kambro shini la ka. Ebo shini la ka. Habashana la kambo shini laka. Hallelujah. Boshini la kambo shini laka. Oboshini la kambo shi. Hallelujah. Bringing the future to the present. Bring of the future to the present. Bring of the future to the present. Bringing the future to the present. Bringing the future to the present. Do you know that enemy is a real enemy? He will try to blind the mind. I'm telling you, bringing the future to the present. He says, you, faithless and perverse generation, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Holy Spirit, bring it back to my remembrance. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove, and it shall be moved into that place. Mm. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Let us stand to our feet.